We wanted to discuss not really a continuation of last week, but a little bit of continuation. Last week we were discussing that the days of Sphira are special for getting ready for Kabbalah Satara. So we quoted the story from Rav Zonenfeld. We said last week about trying to increase your hasmada. So we mentioned that the real hasmada, at least in this yeshiva, what we really believe is that the real hasmada is increasing not just the quantity, but the quality. Except it's much easier to increase the quantity, which is also tremendous. Okay. Anyway. So, thank you. So the ma'isa. So we said that that obviously increasing quantity is very good, but the bigger thing is increasing the quality. That's generally true by every rule, even by mitzvahs. Obviously, adding, we discussed this, I think, I don't know, this year, last year, that doing more mitzvahs is very good, but increasing the quality is even better. So the same thing's true in learning. If you could increase the quality of your learning, that's much, much better. Because we believe that there are different qualities of learning. I mentioned once, Rashiva once said that a person can learn day and night, and obviously get tremendous char in Olam Haba, and still, at the same time, will come up to Shemayim and have a time on him for Bittul Torah, because he didn't use his time as efficiently as he could have, because he could have learned better. Right? If you learn, if you learn day and night, but you don't use your time qualitatively proper, so that's also a form of Bittul Torah. Anyway, what the literature world holds, and this is something that all literature yeshivas pretty clearly, though even today it's not as clear, because today we have a little bit of a mixture of literature and chassidish, but the literature world, all literature yeshivas, is pretty clear that they hold that the iyun is doiche to certain extent of bekiyas. Because if you don't say that, then it would make no sense to do Ian. Obviously, in the time that you're doing Ian, you could cover much, much, much more ground at the Kias. Right? Any yeshiva that has a shir, and they spend time, Rav Baruch Ber, Rav Shimon, Rav the Granat, obviously they spend time on that. And the amount of time that you did on that shir, you could have learned 10 blots, 20 blots. Right? I remember Rav Pashinsky told me a story. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but he said that, that his father, he was trying to always, he liked his father. So he was saying that the altar gave a shmooze, and he noticed that his father wasn't listening. So he went over to his father, and he gave him mussar, says, "You weren't listening to the shmooze." So the Pashinsky said, "The truth is, his father, even though he wasn't listening, he was listening. He was so brilliant that even if he wasn't listening, he could have said over word for word exactly what the altar said." But he says, "Emes, you're right. I wasn't listening. During your shir, I counted 150 blots. And, it's your choice. It's just your shmooze or 150 blots." So if during your shmooze, you can do 150 blots, I'm sure during a learning shir. So the hashkafa was definitely that Ian was Zaycha Bekiyas. Rav Huttner, I heard this from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner said that he gave a mashal that you have a boat, and he says if a boat is in the good old fashioned boats with the sails, if a boat's in the ocean and there's a storm and the boat's about to sink, so you start throwing everything overboard to lighten the weight. And if the boat's still sinking, he says you even chop down the sails to throw them overboard. Because even though the sails are a nice thing, without a sail, your boat's not so good, but for it, you won't sink. So you have to know what your priority and what's not your priority. So he said that in the literature world, There was a feeling that the boat of Torah, excuse the metaphor, whatever, it was just was sinking. And it was too heavy of a load. People couldn't do it all. And in the literature world, he said they took the kiyas and they threw it overboard. And they said, the diavad, the boat won't sink without the kiyas. He says, you have Ian and you have Yerushalayim, and that's necessities. Without either of those two, the boat will sink. Bikiyas, but the Abbe will survive. He says the Hasidim never threw Bikiyas overboard, and that explains, he says, some of the difference between, you know, some of the Hasidish of Yeshivas and Litvish Yeshivas. Okay, anyway, the Maisa, we are very, 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 and a few more varies, very big on Ian. Even though we spend a good part of the day on Bikiyas, but even our Bikiyas, Rishiva held that Bikiyas is, his famous line was, Bikiyas is just clocked Ian. Bikiyas is not Bikiyas shmirin. Bikiyas is a form of Ian. It's just, there's a way of Ian doing it faster. But we all that the Iker learning Torah is with Ian. That is the Iker mitzvah. Doesn't mean you're not getting a mitzvah without doing it, but the Iker mitzvah, the bigger mitzvah, is when you do it with Ian. That is definitely the hashgacha. And even if you learn much less, you spend an Ian working on a Havamina, and you know, and we don't even paskin that way. And you work on an Ian on one shot in Rekiva Eger in the Marsha, and that's Daicha working on, you know, like Rapishinsky's 50 or 100 block. Okay, anyway, so the Shaida is, how do you improve your Ian skills? That's a very hard shaida. And I think the basic idea is, we say this every year probably, and it's very hard to explain, but the basic idea is that people naturally are sloppy. I don't want to, but that, I saw this in a sefer, I don't remember who, but I saw a very big gadol said that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings with a tremendous seichel, without training, everybody is sloppy. And they naturally make intellectual mistakes. Human mind, without training, will make errors. It will make, and in the training, you have to train it not to be sloppy. And I think there are two areas that we have to train the brain. One is not to be superficial, and two is to not to be vague, to be clear. I want to go over each inyan. Superficial. Go over to a young kid, and you say, you show him a light. You know what this is? Sure, it's a light. If you know how it works, sure. You turn the switch, light goes on. Turn the switch down, the light goes off. Right. Now, that's true. But that's a very, very superficial understanding. Why, when you turn the switch, the light goes on? Right. You ask that to a 5-year-old, he won't know. It won't bother him. He will be convinced. He knows perfectly. But you ask him why, he won't know. Now you ask an adult, oh, I know why. Because it's very simple. Because when you turn on the switch, you turn on, open a current. And now, you close the current, right? I think that whatever it is, you close the. And now the electricity can flow. When you turn the switch off, the current is open, the electricity can't flow. Okay, now, you understand that. What is electricity? Why does the electricity make the light turn on? Right? You don't really, that's superficial. Right? You go ahead and you're wiring your house, and you say, well, sure, I know how to wire this. You think there are three colors. I don't know what that is. There's a brown, what are the colors? And the wires, that's different colors, no? Brown, red, and what, yellow? And white? No, I think it's, yeah, what? Anyone else? So you gotta attach the brown to the brown, and the red to the red, and the yellow to the yellow. You know why it didn't work? Because you attached the positive to the negative. Oh, now I understand. Of course it's not gonna work. You know what a positive and a negative is? You know, there's most people, we think we understand things, We understand things on a very superficial way, and we're satisfied. And I gave today in one of my shirim was a very good example that we're learning the sugya that it says that Rava says a zaymim mikan abahu nifso because it's a chiddush. Okay, everyone knows that. Right. Now here's the question: what's the connection? So what? Because it's a chiddush, it's mikan abahu. Like why? Why don't you say because it's a chiddush, you're passed from Rosh Hashanah? Because it's a chiddush, you get two noses. You know, like, you know, because it's a chiddush, you're possibly going to have a, you know, okay, like, what's the connection? I don't know what the connection is. If anything, just because you, so you got one chiddush, you got to make another chiddush. It's not logical to be possibly going to have a. So you got one chiddush, make other chiddush. Right, but no one, you know, I don't say no one, but most people, including myself, we just learn it. We take the word for it. So that's called superficial. Superficial means you mumble the words. I understand the pshat perfectly because this one's green and this one's yellow, and that's why it makes for a difference. But the understanding of the Havana on a deeper level, most people very often don't have. So the idea is understanding things deeper, getting a deeper understanding. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing is getting a sharper understanding. Sharper means that not to be ambiguous, to be clear, to know. Now, clarity is a very, very unclear. The example I give is you walk into a field and you see green grass, right? Say, what color is this field? It's green. Right? Now, that's not really true. Because why isn't that not true? Because what color is a field?
Brown.
What?
Brown.
Brown. What else?
Green.
Green. Yellow. Right? If you examine, there's probably multi colors in this field. All kinds of this dry grass, and there's a foul powder. And in each even spade of grass, if you take a spade of grass, itself has different colors. There's dark green and light green, and there's different shades. And different tones and different, so the field, the grass, is made up of thousands and thousands of little pieces of grass. The guy takes a crayon and goes, "You go to get your pen. I want you to draw this field." Takes a little green ink. Oops. Okay. No. You're really accurate. If you want to get it right, you gotta get every little spade of grass and with the different shades. And that makes it much more beautiful. It's because it's made up of a mixture of colors. There's a famous line that people don't see the trees because of the forest. Right? That's lack of clarity. There's so many grass that you don't see grass. You just see, green. That's what it means. You don't see the trees because of the forest. There's another expression: you don't see the forest because of the trees. Right? What does that mean? What?
You don't see the big picture.
It means you don't see the patterns. There's a certain pattern. You get so involved in looking at each spade of grass that you lose sight of the pattern that it creates. There's patterns. There's indicative and things that indicate. So that's something in concentration. When you see something, to be able to have it sharp, clear. This happens to be one of my big complaints that I'm pretty sure I said this to one of my shiurim, because I say it every year, so I said I don't have this problem. The one of the big things that drives me up a wall is when the guy says, "That's what I said." Right? Why? Because what does it mean when a guy says, "That's what I said"? The guy says the pshat, and I slug it up, and then I say a different pshat, and the guy said, "That's what I said." What is it? What does that really mean? Right. It means obviously the two pshat them have some kind of similarity. They're both trying to explain the same answer, the same kasha. So So they started out at the same place, and they ended up at the same place. So they're, of course there are going to be certain similarity, but they're obviously different. I mean, because I succeeded in slugging him up, and he couldn't even defend himself. And then I said a different shot, obviously, you know. So they're different. For the guy that that's what I said, it means that he cannot discern differences. Everything is just vague. Right? A person who says all Hasidim look the same, right? Or all, you know, whatever, looks the same, right? That is because we are only looking at people on a very superficial, you're just looking at the color, right? So they all look the same. Someone said, what are you talking about? They're so different, right? But that's, you're looking at super. So when a guy says all Pshatim look the same, that's lack of clarity. Now when a person needs a way of testing clarity, if you guys who, when they say over the Pshat, they use the exact same words that the Rebbe used, that's usually an indication they don't have clarity, because they can't use their own words, they can't change it. If they say it over in the same order, if you have clarity, you should be able to spin it on its head and go switch it all completely out of order without getting confused and start, because you can take a building and turn it upside down like a crossword puzzle, it comes out the same, you know, it'll come out the same beauty, you know, and you have a pshat and there's a question and an answer and a raya, you can just flip it backwards and start with the raya as a question and the question and then the question is the raya. You know, most things you can just turn upside down, it won't hurt it. But and not just inside down, inside out, you know. But that's when you, but sometimes when you do that to people, they get all for tumult. That's because they don't have clarity. Anyway, what we're striving for is these two things. We want that you should depths of understanding, not to understand things as a baby. Well, I turn the light switch, the light goes on. You have to always try and see the deeper reasons that are going on under the surface. We believe that there's tremendous depth under the surface. And even in Svarim, the Svarim don't say, the world says that the Pirkei Shmuel is one of the hardest Svarim. Pirkei Shmuel and Rav Chaim, one of the hardest Svarim to read. I heard from someone that the reason is because every other Sefer, when they have a split, they explain the difference. This is red and this is green. What about there explains the reason why it's different. And the reasons are make how much, it's much easier. Yeah, it's different, red and green. Okay, right. But that's really not the answer, because you got to explain why red and green make for a difference. And most of them don't bother doing that. They just assume you'll figure that out yourself. But we don't, and then we think we're happy. So brought up there, he decides to explain it to you, and that's since we don't understand, and we can't understand it, so that's why we can't read them. But that's the idea of depth. Depth means to realize that there to always try and understand things on a deeper level. And clarity is to have clear, to know clearly the thing. It's crystal clear. Now sometimes crystal clear means to know, let's see what that is, that I don't know pshat. That's also crystal clear. A guy who thinks he knows pshat when he doesn't know pshat is not clarity, but it's clear. Okay. Now with this wonderful introduction, okay, how do you do this? How do you go ahead and increase your ability of delving in deeper and clearer? Now hopefully you get it in share, because that's what the share does. I would say, I don't know if this is, I think this is really applicable on every level of share, but I believe so, that a person who really learns, is on, we're doing well, should be able to understand why the Rebbe did what he did and where he got it from. In other words, when a Rebbe gives shir, he doesn't work with nevuah. He comes with a question, he gives an answer. He did a certain maramakom. Why did he go to that maramakom? Wow, it just worked out beautifully. What a coincidence. Worked out. Didn't just work out. There is a logic. So a person is it's a way of practicing. I gotta say this clear. The way to improve your thinking is by thinking. And the brain is a muscle, and every muscle improves the more you do it. So the more you think clearly, the more you develop thinking clearly. The more you think deeply, the more you develop thinking deeply. So you have to create for yourself hechreichim that force you to do this. The more you do it, the more you'll be able to do it. A good question, a brain teaser, is an excellent thing, especially a brain teaser in learning. It forces you to think, mishmar shayda, so to speak. But it doesn't have to be a mishmar shayda, a good shayda in Gemara. You're stuck. Can't read the Ritva, whatever it is. You get stuck on a problem. That a problem forces you to think harder, to try and solve the problem. So that's a way of getting you to think. So a good way to get you to think is to analyze after the shir why the Rebbe did what he did or how he got to where he got, because there's a logical sequence of thought. You have to discover the sequence. You got to figure out. He didn't just walk in, and just say, today, he gave shir today. He didn't just walk in and make up a svara. It's because I say when the shir is the plain shua, because the plain shua's question indicated that answer. Right? You have to be able to see that. If we talk about clarity, clarity is one of the things of clarity is that every question has in it already an answer. Right? That's clarity. If you understand the question well, then you know already the answer, right? Because every question has in it the structure of the answer, right? If the question that we had today, in the shir was that every hachlasha, every hazama is also hachlasha, the answer is no, hazama is not hachlasha, right? Be more is less. That answer is in the question, right? There's a good question. You don't know. And I gave the guys and the people a mushroom. I gave this mushroom to somebody this year. You're a murder detective, and you find the guy, you find the person, the door is locked, and the guy is all by himself. He has no friends, no wife, no kids. You open up the lock, the door to his house, all the windows are closed, he's locked inside the house, and you find that someone shot him. He didn't commit suicide. Someone killed him and escaped. And the doors are locked and the windows are locked, and it doesn't seem like any way that a guy could have gotten in or out. So there's an obvious answer. What's the obvious answer? Someone had a key. Right? The guy has a key. So now you are ready. You don't just say, who killed them? I know who killed them. The guy who had a key. Now you're going to have to figure out who had a key. So then you say, well, who would he have given a key to? So there's a progression of thoughts. A good question very often has, it's not just an open-ended question. How did the guy get killed? Impossible. No, you know the answer. The guy got the murderer. How did the murderer get in? I know how he got in. The murderer had a key. He got in with his key. Obviously, he locked the door behind him. He said, who has a key? Okay, so that also has an answer. Who has a key? Well, the people that he knows, but he doesn't know anyone. Well, obviously, he does know someone. Ah, so, you know, so now he got to check. So then you go checking his acquaintances. And the question, knowledge of a good question gives you an answer. But that's clarity. If any question has in it an answer, so that's part of clarity. Okay, I always like to read this thing in the sefer. This is the sefer here from the Mashgiach Olumta Yeshiva in Europe. He has here an introduction. He says as follows. A very nice thought. He says that he would concentrate for 5 or 6 hours with Sufis without stopping. The Mashgiach told this person's Ryan the Akdama, Shekidei Vizkos Lechamisha Rigoim, in order to be Zoicha to 5 minutes, Shel Machshava Ilois, of good thinking. Rufa, who's Mukakis and pure, Hechrechazain Chomeshals. You need 5 hours, Shomamis Makshapti, of concentration. In other words, there are people that think, I asked the question, okay, I don't know. Well, think, I thought already. This scripture is with a pretty big gown. He says to have 5 minutes of real thought, he needs 5 hours of warm up. We don't understand what concentration means. Concentration, to be able to just to really think, you gotta get your brain warmed up. You gotta see the whole picture. You gotta have everything. And it takes hours just to get the whole picture in your brain and your brain focus and focus on the problem and knowing, seeing clearly all the dimensions of the problem. And then to get a clear thinking about it. So he says it takes him 5 hours so he can get through his 5 minutes of real thought. That thinking takes time, and many people they don't put in the time. They think for a minute, and then they stop. The art of being able to think for a while on the same thing is many people can't do that. So that itself is. To be able to keep your brain focused on the same thing. So not be exactly, because you move, there's different points to it, but it's on the same topic. You maybe look at it from different dimensions, but it's the same small topic. You have a question, you look at it from the top, the bottom, and it's only when you have 5 hours can you have good thinking. Now, Mitzad Cheney, there's another thing of thinking, which is sometimes 5 hours is bad. What does that mean? That's not really bad. But very often you need something else. You need to start fresh. And this is the opposite of thinking. The opposite thought. That many people have a problem. You see this many, many times. That when they get an idea in their head, they can't get it out. And they cannot look at it in a different way. We had a guy in the yeshiva that was a very good guy, but his chaburas, it was known that his chaburas were very shvach, because he could not get out of his head. He always, there's obviously when you first learn a sugya, you make mistakes, and the ability is to be able to learn by it and correct your mistakes. But he couldn't do that because whenever he got something in his head, it stayed there. So, even if he worked 50 hours in sugya, but you're still hearing his shot that he had the first hour, because whatever he said, he just built on his first mistake. The ability to be able to start over again is also a very important concentration. To be able, I without exaggerating, many of my best shiurim were figured out lying in bed at night. Because it's start fresh. You know, and in yeshiva, I think of the prasugya, and I come one way, and then when I go and lie in bed and think about, you know, my brain is relaxed, and sometimes, you know, not always, maybe not at all, but once in a while, I think about what I'm learning, and it's a brand new thinking, and it's a whole new, you know, and then think about something, and all of a sudden I look at it differently. You know, look, and a new way of looking at it. So they're both very important. You have to be able to spend a long amount of time focused on a point. That is one of the most important things to do. And you have to be able to start totally fresh. And you have to be able to walk in, let's start from the beginning again, no preconceived notions, because the probability is that you made a mistake before. Okay, anyway, let me just summarize, because I'm a little bit not so clear. We believe that the biggest mitzvah in learning is yegiyah and clarity. And a drop more clarity and yegiyah raises your level of learning to a much, much higher level. It's a much bigger mitzvah, it's a much bigger schus, it's a much bigger, it's a whole different mitzvah. It's the perfection of the gem. In order to do that, the first thing is you have to train your brain. People's brains are naturally sloppy, careless, mistakes. And a person has to train. The more you do it, it's like any other muscle. It's like I always give them an example by memory. How do people, you know, I gave the mashal today. A person wants to become a learner in the bar mitzvah, he learns the parsha. It takes him a year to learn the parsha. But afterwards, if he's a bal kore, he can learn a parsha in a week or even a day, because his brain has already been kind of the mida of memorizing a parsha. So the same thing is with your Ian skills. The more you do it, the more it comes natural. What you have to do is force yourself to do it. The more you force yourself to do it, at a later point, it's such a great thing, because if you're kind of in an Ian Seder, then in the Kiyan Seder, it just comes natural. So all you're learning later will automatically be on a higher level, because you're kind of that mido, which is a very inspiring thought. The more I can increase my Ian skills, then I'm raising the level of all my learning, because once I get that way of thinking, it becomes part of me. So you got to try as much as you can. I think these are the two main things. To try and make sure you get things clear, not to be that you can just mum like a parrot, say over the words, but you really understand. You got it, clarity. You understand what, you know, it's clear. And second, to be able to see the depth behind things, not just, you know, superficial code words, green, yellow, you know, it's different, because you have to understand the havana behind what makes things. And when you get the depth and the clarity, that's the real definition of understanding. Okay.